In dependence upon Thee, Lord, for all needed help, I venture to draw Your prayerful attention to two short clauses. Joshua chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Joshua chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, the last clause in both verses. Go after it, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. Verse 3, last clause, go after it. Verse 4, last clause, ye have not passed this way heretofore. The long journey of 40 years in the wilderness was now at its appointed end. And the Israelites, being gathered at Shittim, the last camping place in the wilderness, now removing to Jordan with the land flowing of milk and honey before them, and yet a river, and yet walled cities, and yet mighty enemies, and yet powerful foes. But God is with them. Their God is their God. We go back over a period, and I would estimate about 800 years, when Almighty God called out one man out of the land of darkness, brought him to the promised land that he, God, promised to give to Abraham and to his seed. Abraham, by faith, obeyed, went out not knowing whither he went, but as directed by God, entering into the land. Yet as we read in the Acts, in the ministry of Stephen, there was not a foot's breadth of that land that he could call his own. Then we read these three wonderful words. Yet he, God, yet he promised. Not a foot's breadth to call his own. No heir, no son as yet, no seed, but God. But God. Oh, the trial of faith. And yesterday, in meditating on this, my mind went to the words of Jeremiah the prophet concerning the Almighty, the great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name. Great in counsel, mighty in work. But it's God's time, not our time. It is not for me to enlarge in detail on the trial of Abraham's faith, well known, and how that despite the deadness of Sarah's womb, the years that are passing, yet God in that set time, in his way, according to his word, visited Sarah, and she was blessed with a son. But even then, later in life, take now thy son, the promised one, thy only one, thy loved one. Take him, offer him up. Oh, the steps of faith. Oh, the trial of faith. Oh, the blessings of Jehovah Jireh. Oh, the sight that dear man had of Christ. And Isaac too. And some don't think we perhaps overlook that. Isaac let free, set free, standing and watching as the ram is slain and offered in his stead. Died affliction, blessed trial of faith. When the Lord blesses a sinner and favors him with a sight of Christ, and that this dear Savior died for us. But I must not tarry. I must move forward. But just trace through the impossibility to man. And you may have impossible things in your experience. Is, and again I referred to Jeremiah, is anything too hard for the Lord? Now we don't say that lightly. Isn't it easy to quote scripture? Is it easy to believe? Is it easy to rest in it when the cloud is dark? When the way is rough? When you're alone? When the tempter tempts you? When you're pressed? When you're beginning to sink? My friend, blessed be God, faith is indestructible. But it's no easy matter, is it? And praise God for that. 430 years in Egypt. But God said, the promised land, flowing with milk and honey. And the longer they tarried there, the worse their lot became, harder under the taskmasters, and it seemed an impossibility. Did God forget? Did God take no notice? Didn't God care? The devil will tell you that your God doesn't love you anymore, that your God doesn't care for you anymore. But, beloved friend, I am sure that is in Egypt. I've heard their cry and come down to deliver them. I know their sorrow. But another step forward. Their deliverance. Their long journey. And despite their sin of unbelief. And remember this. That many Israelites perished in the wilderness, died in their sin, is most solemn. I've often thought, and we tend to overlook when they murmured against God and fiery serpents were sent to bite them, and God made a way of healing. But, you know, we read much people of Israel died. Many died. I was going to say outside the blood, under the wrath of God. And as we journey, and we look back, and we hear from time to time of those we've known, in whose heart and in whose life, as far as we know, and we're not the final judge, there's no evidence of divine life. And we're spared. And we think, yes, despite our sin in the sight of God, despite all his love toward us and our dreadful sins, we're spared. Has not dealt with us as we deserve the wrath of God. But now the end of the journey, the appointment of heaven, God says he will give his people the land. And God has said he's going to give his people heaven. And he's going to bring them there. And there won't be one missing. Will you? Is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? But further, friend, Moses dies. And this is a word too when we look back in our lives, when dear saints, pastors, preachers, deacons, men of God, mothers in Israel, oh yes, mothers in Israel, we mourn the loss, we feel, how can we go on? Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan. Here is the promise, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. They come now then to what we might say. Yes, we do say it. That insurmountable river. And it was at the time of barley harvest when the Jordan overflowed its banks. An impossible barrier. Wait, my soul, wait. You have come now. Or it may be in your future path to a fresh trial, perhaps greater than ever you've been through. But look back. Has thy God failed thee? Has there been no Red Sea in the way? Has not God made the water stand up as an heap on either side? Have not you, dear soul, been brought through? Men can stack bricks and men can stack hay, but God stacks water, you know. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Trembling faith would plead it. Oh, for grace to rest in it and be at peace in the midst of the storm. Now, I like that little illustration of two artists that were asked to paint a picture depicting peace. One was a very beautiful scene of I think it was a lake or a stream and trees and that, but it ain't nice. The other was extraordinary. It was of a tree and trees, and you could see there was a gale blowing, a storm, and in the tree was a bird singing. Now they acknowledge it was that one that illustrated real peace. The other, beautiful as it was, could set forth stagnation. Singing in the night. Songs in the night. Rejoicing in the Lord though under load. Assured that he will not fail thee or forsake thee, friend. Oh, I know the devil's tacking me now. He says, you're a fine one. You don't live up to what you're preaching. Devil, I try to. Devil, there's one thing you can't get, deny, that this poor sinner, though his faith may be ever so tried, but there's still a clinging to Jesus. But it's sweet, friend, when faith is in such exercise to trust your God. Trust him. And to be able to put all things into his dear hand. And, you know, I use some very simple illustrations, but I remember my little girls when they were trying to knit, and they got in such a tangle, and don't we get in a tangle? And what did they do? Run to mum and mother and put it right, the whole lot in our hands. I believe that's just what we've got to do, friend. And they went and told Jesus. Beautiful, isn't it? Beautiful. They went and told Jesus. But I'm wondering again. Here is Israel. Here is this great Jordan overflowing. But here is their God. Yes, the pillar of cloud, as we believe, ceased at the death of Moses. How Israel to know how to go forward, where to go forward, when to go forward. The direction here is in our text. When ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites bearing it, then, not before, ye shall remove from your place and go after it. We're going to be very careful about this little word, it. Let's look at it spiritually. This sets forth sweetly in its fullness our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wonderful. The fullness in him. But I said there's a danger. A great danger. What I call an it religion instead of a Jesus religion. I speak with reverence. Let me explain. Later in Israel's history, in the days of Eli, when there was, religion was at low ebb, wasn't it? The Philistines came up against them. Oh, we'll get the ark. It will save us. It without Christ will not save you, friend. Now, don't misunderstand this. It's right that you should spend your life as far as you can in the house of God and under the truth. But it, coming to and fro the sanctuary, sitting under the, just the it, won't save you just as much as the foolish virgins proved. They had no oil, no work of grace in the heart, no Christ for their salvation. So I name this, we need to be warned against artificial religion. But, oh dear fellow pilgrims, struggling on as you are, crushed sometimes, helped at times, singing at times, sighing at other times. Oh, what a strange path it is. But it is Christ. And what a mercy it is when all our troubles and trials, providential and spiritual, just as it were, drive us into the very arms of Christ. And you can't find any help anywhere else. No help anywhere else but in a precious Jesus. Now, they were to watch then. And not now at the pillar of cloud. And I just refer to that because lately, I don't know whether you notice it, but I'm very fond of watching the weather, and there have been some most magnificent cloud formations. I saw it away on holiday and seen it in since I've been back, and the changing patterns of cloud. But the pillar of cloud never changed. Why? Because it set forth God, an unchanging, a pillar. And you know, the devil couldn't touch it. Man couldn't touch it. And all the time, Israel were under that pillar, stayed or moved as directed, they were in the right place. And now, though that has been withdrawn, they are bidden and directed as to what to do. They are to look, they are to watch. There's the ark. The ark that in the wilderness journey was in the center of the camp, surrounded by the tribes. But now it is going before them, carried by the priests. I think if memory serves me right, there are about four special occasions when the ark was carried in this way here, and then of course round the walls of Jericho, and when brought back to Jerusalem by David, not on the new cart. Watch against that, brethren. Watch against the new car. Don't you bring it in. God's displeasure will be on it. But when later, according to the word of God, they brought it back. So, and then later, when the ark was brought into the temple that Solomon had made. Solemn occasions in the history of Israel. You say, well, we have no ark. We have no literal ark as they did, no. But can you bear to think, beloved, of taking any step, going to the sanctuary, preaching or hearing, praying or praising or singing without the ark? Is not this a prayer that Lord Jesus, draw near, keep me close to thee. So go after it. They want to go in front of it. Great danger. You see, some people can decide what they're going to do, and then they pray about it. Pray God's blessing on it. That, to my mind, is going in front of it. On the other hand, they want to go without it. And we can be guilty there. Making decisions. Taking a step. Without prayer. Thinking, oh, yes, we can deal with that. Rather, may we be constantly under the exercise and concern of Moses, the man of God. If I now have found grace in thy sight, then if wasn't the if of doubt, it was an assurance, I have found grace in thy sight. Show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight. If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. My presence, that's what I want, Lord. My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Oh, dear old deacon of my old cause, a most humble man, I hear him now, and tears rolling down his cheeks sometimes. He was a very dear man. In thy presence I am happy. In thy presence I am secure. In thy presence all affliction I can easily endure. You know, we shrink from the valley of the shadow of death. We shrink from the den of lions. We shrink from that fiery furnace, from that cross so heavy, from that cup so bitter. But if Christ is there, and he will be with you, dear child, it will be a spot of heaven. Oh, I'm not preaching lightly. Friend, it's through deep waters. It's many struggles. But your head will be kept above it. Above those great waves. Sometimes you feel you're going down, but he'll save you. He'll help you. Go after it. And then, as I think on these words, you may say, well, how can I go after Jesus Christ? Well, surely first, go to him. Go and tell him how you need him. Go and pour out your poor heart to him. Go and tell him everything. you say, but look at all my sins. Look how I failed. Can he still receive me? Not that we're to speak lightly of sin, rebellion, or backsliding. God forbid we shall suffer for it. But he'll never forsake us. Go to him then. Go to him with all your burden, with all your temptation, with all your perplexity. Go to him with all your sin. Go to him, yes, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Friend, you know what it is to be in such a state and such a place, providentially and spiritually, and the two together, that all you feel you can do is you're just cast upon Jesus Christ. And you come then, in God's time, to walk out that wonderful word, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And you thought you could, there could be nothing under you, perhaps, but hell itself, darkness and despair. But no, thy God, you never, dear child of God, sink beneath those everlasting arms. Tell my dear people sometimes with that wonderful word, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. And you know that cry, it may be only a groan, a sigh. But however deep that depth, however dark you may be, that cry still reaches heaven. Isn't it wonderful? And I believe there's more prayer in that than what we feel sometimes in our long-worded prayers. Friend, go after it. Go to him and pray for grace. Lord, help me to follow thee, to be obedient to thy command, to the word that thou hast spoken, to the promise that thou hast given. I want to go the other way, Lord. Choose thou the way, and still lead on, nor leave me till I say, Father, thy will be done. Go after it. After following in obedience thy Lord, in the way that he has set, and I was going to say, in the example that he has set, that we might, as we follow him, be more like him, indwelt by the Spirit of Christ within us, and that grace to be separate from the world, and for that closer walk with God, that larger communion with him whom our soul loveth. And though, Lord, I tremblingly go forward, hast thou not said, fear thou not, for I am with thee, be not dismayed, for I am thy God, I will help thee, yea, I will strengthen thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And I've sometimes spoken of that. The foundation, there's seven clauses in that promise. The foundation is the center one. I am thy God. For the present, fear thou not. That's the first. For I am with thee. Second, be not dismayed. That's your present. God is a very present help in trouble. But you say, ah, but it's the future. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Yea, and strengthen thee too. Blessed be God. Oh, friend, I know when the sun shines, when the way is quiet, we may speak of these things, but I believe we know a little of them in our experience. I go back to now, of course, nearly a year ago. Saw so much of the hand of Almighty God, that we were prevented going to America, having this investigation, the surgeon being called by the medical specialist, saying to me, now we're going to keep you in, it was a Friday, we're going to operate on Monday. Go after it. I felt he was with me, friend. I felt a little quietness. The day before, dear Mr. Ramsdottom had preached for our Thanksgiving services and spoke of the Lord of hosts and then the God of Jacob. Wonderful, isn't it? You think of it, the Lord of hosts, and yet the God of... Doesn't it the God of Abraham? He is, of course, the God of Abraham. But the God of Jacob, worm Jacob, the worthless one, the weakest one. It's wonderful, you know. But the morning of that operation, early morning, I just felt, I felt quiet. I felt I could say, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I felt I could leave my unconscious body, as it were, under the operation, in the hand of my God. And yet, Lord, could it please thee to draw near? Could it please thee to give me just a sweet sense of thy love, a kiss of thy mouth? When suddenly this was brought from heaven into my soul, his right hand is under my head, and his left hand doth embrace me. Lord, that's too good for me. It can't be for me. Seal it, confirm it. Ah, friend, for about half an hour the Lord so favored me with such sweet meditation on his hand, his help, and his embrace. What did I see in that word embrace? While he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and ran and had compassion and fell on his neck and kissed him. Embrace, my friend. Go after it. I needed it. It wasn't an easy path to come through. Nor for my dear one either. And I name it, go after it, friend. Yes, and you see the river divide. Or as, of course, in the case of the Jordan, the waters coming down from the mounts were held up like a wall, and that just drained away on the right. And there's the way through. But look, when Israel reached the Red Sea, when Israel reached the Jordan, it wasn't until they got there, and particularly with the Jordan, that the feet of the priest touched the water, that it was divided. God, if it had been his purpose, could have had it all open for Israel to pass through. No. It's for the testing of our faith, and it's for the venturing of our faith, isn't it? When God said to Israel of old, to Moses, speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But Lord, how can I go forward? But forward, if God says forward, forward you must go. And the Lord will make the way. And he did so for Israel in a most marked way, wonderful way. Go after it. Go after it. See the way made open. Then further, they won't come close to the ark. This speaks to us of reverence, solemnity. Friend, there's much light, frothing religion today. I want to be kept from. At the same time, I want to be kept from just a mere outward appearance of a mournful face, which is just as bad, perhaps, if it's hypocrisy. But, you know, I know this. If the blessing is from heaven, friend, it will have a solemn effect upon our spirit. It did so for Jacob at Bethel. And right through the word of God. A solemn sense. And yet you might say, well, while it says this distance, and I feel that is what's signified here, there is a way, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. But that boldly doesn't mean arrogantly, proudly, self-sufficiently. God forbid. It means to come in all your need, in all your sinfulness, in faith. Come just as you are to that throne of grace. Then let me just observe this. You have not passed this way heretofore. It's a new way, a new experience, and a way that I'm sure our beloved friends who have united with you, and we send them to you with all our love, we do, and pray that God will bless them in your midst. And I'm sure that they coming as to hear a sense of the Lord's direction and the Lord's blessing, and yet it's a new path, a way that some 3 or 4 years ago never contemplated. And you and I mean, I would never have thought I would have moved from Tunbridge Wells. But heretofore, it's as God directs, isn't it? But there is a new path, there is a new experience, yet this God is our God. And there was to be a remembrance. The 12 stones were to be taken out of the midst of the Jordan where the feet of the priests stood bearing the ark. A monument was to be set up. It's lovely to set up monuments, isn't it? I don't mean literal monuments. I mean spiritual monuments. Your Ebenezer, your Bethel, your Jehovah Jireh, your Mizpah. Sacred spots, aren't they? When you set up these stones. And so the church said, what's all this about? Brethren, encourage the children. I'm sure you do. I know your dear pastor does. And your dear teachers too. Well, what do you mean by it? We need grace and wisdom to answer those questions. And to speak to them of God. Tell them about what God has done for you. Helped you. And then of course there were the 12 stones to be taken from the bank and put right in the middle of Jordan so that it would be seen in the clear waters. That's just where the ark carried by the priest stood and all the people passed over. No one was drowned in that flood. It would remain dry till they were all passed over. Ye've not walked past this way heretofore. The experience in the way, spiritual experience, may come in here. As some of you look back, as I do, on the days of first love. Well, of course, we have to say that when we came before the church, we had not passed this way heretofore. But what a season of blessing it was. How the Lord appeared for you and delivered you from all your fears and just opened your mouth to speak a little of his love and blessed your soul. But church membership, responsibility, profession of faith, you've not walked this way heretofore. Who is sufficient for these things? And when you're brought into deeper trial, and some of the younger members, I don't mean by age necessarily, but by experience, are tried, where's that love? Where's that zeal? I feel to be a worse sinner than ever. And Satan tempts, and the trials come in the way. I sometimes liken it to the first blade, the blade, and then the ear. And I understand in the meantime the farmer will pass the harrow over the field. I would say, man, what are you doing? You're uprooting the lot. You'll destroy it. No, says the wise farmer, I'm going to deepen the root. It's painful, but it's profitable. You've not passed this way heretofore. And then a little later, and using that illustration, the ear. You see, when there was the blade, there wasn't a sense of the chaff. But now there's a walking into Romans chapter 7. The inward conflict. The flesh and the spirit. You've not walked this way heretofore. But the Lord is teaching. And what is it? It's that it's going to bring forth fruit. What is the purpose of the wheat? It's for the grain. They're not interested in the chaff. I know the straw can be useful, but taking the general picture, it's the grain, isn't it? And when is that grain ready for the harvest? When it's fully developed and it's loosening from all the chaff. And when God finishes that work in your soul, you will be loosened from the things of this world and prepared for glory. Now, just one more word on these two clauses, and there we must leave the subject with you. Jordan is often likened to the river of death. Now, there's no fault with that whatsoever. But, let me say this, there is a limitation. In this way, remember, when Israel passed through the Jordan, it wasn't into rest and peace, it was into warfare. It was into battle against all these tribes there named in the reading. But at the same time, we may speak of the swellings of Jordan and the river of death and that last river, that last enemy. Now, friend, what a comfort. Here is the ark. And it stands in the midst till all have gone over. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, that the Lord will give us grace to live to his honour and to his glory, to be entirely surrendered to Christ, submissive to his will, to present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Go after. And friend, this is the way to heaven. It's by the way of the cross. It's by the way of Christ. It's by the way of blood. It's by the way of salvation. It's by the work of the Spirit. It's by precious faith in your soul. Yes, and they shall never perish. They'll be brought to glory at last. Yes, be a strange path at times. With mercy and with judgment, my web of time he wove, and e'en the dews of sorrow are lustered with his love. I'll bless the hand that guided, I'll bless the heart that planned, when throned in highest glory in Emmanuel's land. My dear pastor used to say, the best is yet to be. If such the sweetness of the streams, and they are sweet, what must the fountain be where saints and angels draw their bliss? Immediately from thee. Amen.
closing hymn, I would mention that tea will be ready in the schoolroom immediately after the service. And we do hope that as many of our friends as possible will join us. The evening service commences at 6 o'clock, and the collections today are for the calls. And as it is our custom now to give out our notices midweek, I would add that, God willing, Mr. Pinchin will preach this coming Lord's Day, both morning and evening. Our weekly prayer meeting will be held on Monday evening at 7:15. Our pastor will preach on Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock, also the following Lord's Day, September the 20th, both morning and evening. May we now be helped to conclude our service this afternoon with hymn number 462. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me now and evermore. Hymn 462.